This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Rory Spears, and Len Zien.
Well, good morning, and hey, thank you for tuning in. You've caught us for Golfers on Golf. We're running to the tee this morning and getting ready to bring you an hour of the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. We do it every Saturday here at 9 a.m., and thank you for making time to join us on what is an absolutely spectacular and gorgeous Saturday here in Chicago. This is the type of weather I think we dream about all year. It's just about perfect. But here in studio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson, part of the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County. We have three courses, Green Meadows in Westmont. We have Maple Meadows in Wooddale and the Preserve at Oak Meadows in Addison. Alongside me, my co-host Rory Spears, longtime Chicago area journalist, here in person in studio. Our co-host, the Hall of Famer from the Daily Herald, Len Zien, is off this week, but he'll be back next week. So, Rory, we're playing two this morning.
Yeah, we are. Lenny Zien, the Zien machine, is on the road. He's been bouncing around Michigan, and I'm sure he will have plenty of Michigan golf stories for us next week. And we do want to give everybody a heads up. Next week will be our season finale. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. And we have been having some fun, even though this year has been a little bit of an adventure for our show, Eddie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, why not have a little adventure in a year that actually in the golf world has been full of adventure? You know, Rory, usually this time of year, we're getting ready to just kind of coast into the postseason or really the culmination of the season heading into the Tour Championship. There's the FedEx Cup playoffs. We're looking ahead to the President's Cup as well, but this is one of those years where we have Olympic golf sprinkled in there. And last week it was the men that we were following in France, and this week it's the women competing for gold, silver, and bronze. So Nelly Korda was, I think, hopeful of trying to maybe defend her gold medal from Tokyo, just as it turns out, 3 years ago. But I don't think that's going to happen, Rory. She's a few shots back at this point.
Yeah, there's some ground to make up there. However, Ed, as you were mentioning last weekend, the men and four down with eight to play with Scottie Scheffler, and he's not exactly trying to catch a guy who hasn't won anything before. And
well, that field was just absolutely, the leaderboard was absolutely stacked near the top. And I was actually following the action. I was out and about. I was following the action through SiriusXM's, recap of what was going on. And, you know, unbelievably, Scottie Scheffler was back. You know, if anything, he's clearly going to be player of the year. If there was a weakness at all this year, at times his putting has not been up to par, as we say. So for someone who is trailing down the stretch to a field that included, certainly Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, there were some really strong players in the field, not to mention Xander Schauffele, who had just won two majors this year. You didn't really think that it could happen, and yet it did. Scottie Scheffler with just an amazing comeback to end up at 19 under for the gold medal. One ahead of Tommy Fleetwood and really pretty dramatic stuff. And, you know, the questions out there, Rory, as to whether the Olympics means anything to these guys. Certainly the dollars aren't there like they would be week in and week out on the PGA Tour and the weekly world stage. But Scottie Scheffler up on the podium, I think his emotion showed us otherwise.
Yeah, I think so. I know it's, you know, you win on the PGA Tour and you beat the field that week, and you win on the LIV Golf Tour, it's the same thing. However, the Olympics, you know, regardless of the skill level from top to bottom in the field, you win there, and it's like you beat the whole world, you know, because there's a lot of different countries playing, and it's not just the members of that particular tour. I mean, you're going up against, you know, people who qualified some way or another, and so many nations represented that, you know, you never know who you're going to end up playing against. And, you know, you're more often than not on your home soil. This isn't a tour event that bounces around the United States. This is, in this case,
Le Golf National.
There you go.
National.
Yeah, the site of a former Ryder Cup. But, you know, it's just it's a different type of tournament, and you're playing people from everywhere, and to win that tournament against talent that you know, or maybe in some cases players you don't know, but. It takes something to come across and go along and come out on top of a field like that, Ed.
Well, I guess, you know, Rory, I appreciate your point of what you're saying. The Olympics are special, right? They're special for a reason. You know, lots of these events, whether it's track and field, of course, there's competition every year. It's not just when the Olympics rolls around. But yet there is a little something different about the world stage and representing your country. I think, you know, golf is such an individual sport. It's one of the things that makes golf special. It's one of the things that's sometimes criticized for. It really is very much often in most formats about the individual. And although there's no team format for the Olympics, you're not just playing for your paycheck in the Olympics. You're really paying to represent your country. And, you know, Scottie Scheffler's reaction certainly showed that. And, you know, it'll be interesting. It's not something you get to do year in and year out, too, right? There's a Masters every year. We know that's special. There's a U.S. Open every year, a British Open. But the Olympics rolling around once every 4 years. And after there was a layoff of about 100 years, when it came back in 2016, yeah, there's not a lot of people alive on this planet right now that can say that they have an Olympic gold medal,
yeah,
or any medal for golf.
There is something to be said for playing in an event against people from other countries and hearing your anthem played. You know, I talked to a golf writer once who played one of these Ryder Cup style events out in Hawaii, and it was a team of American golf media playing a team of Japanese golf media people at one of the resorts out in Hawaii. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to play golf, we're going to have some fun. But one of the apparel companies had dressed all these guys up in matching shirts, and you know, Team USA, Team Japan, and all of a sudden you're standing there next to the first tee, and it's a resort. People are coming out to watch, and all of a sudden the music comes on, and you're standing there, and it's the Star Spangled Banner. And even for something like that, just a bunch of media guys playing against each other, it took on, he said, gosh, all of a sudden I started getting nervous because it's a different, right. It brings a whole different atmosphere to everything.
Well, I'm pretty confident, Rory, we alluded to it a moment ago on the women's side of that competition. I don't think we're going to hear the Star Spangled Banner. Lydia Ko is through 12 holes, minus two today, but that puts her at 11 under. And we're looking, there's a couple tied at minus six. So that's a five-shot lead with really just a bit more to go. And, you know, certainly not what Nelly Korda was maybe hoping for. She's the closest American to the top there in a tie for eighth. at 4 under. But yeah, it's been fun. I think in some ways, I've been disappointed in the past about the Olympics being the same format we see week in and week out on the PGA Tour of stroke play in 4 rounds. But it has really been pretty special, and look forward to it coming back again in 4 years in Los Angeles.
Okay, and before we get to our first guest, something I wanted to say here. Saw last night where Hall of Fame legend Chichi Rodriguez passed away at 88. And fortunate to have been able to spend some time, do some interviews with him at some of the senior events that have been here in town. And what a gentleman. A whole lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, we just had some good times, and it was fun talking to him about golf and some of his routines and some of the sticks he used to use on the galleries. Always a lot of fun.
Well, a lot of fun. He's one of the most beloved and I think revered folks in golf, and really brought a lot of character and in many ways maybe helped change the perception of golf. And, you know, we see that in people like Chichi coming along. We see that in facilities where they undergo a metamorphosis and change, Rory.
Yeah, they sure do. And one of the golf facilities that's been around for a while has got a new look. It's got a facelift. It got a new name. It's a little bit different now. And to tell us a little more about what was Canal Shores in Evanston, we bring in Chris Charnas from Lynx Capital Partners, who's been a part of the project. Chris, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you, Rory?
Doing good, Chris, and I'll tell you what, I got to thank you for all the updates and the photos along the way. It's been a very interesting project to follow. I know that it seemed to start a couple years ago with just people from Northwestern University, some of Pat Goss's players and the men's and women's golf teams were out there trying to help the grounds crew and trim bushes and do different things. And one thing led to another. And now the property has really had a transformation. And I know some weeks back we had architect Todd Quitno, who's been involved with the project, on the air here talking about it a little bit. But finally, after months and months of work and years of effort, this golf course is ready to reopen under a new name. Chris Phillison.
We opened 12 holes for play on August 1st, and we renamed the course the Evans at Canal Shores. The other six, I think, are going to be ready to play next spring. That was just kind of a function of construction, and we got a little bit behind with some permitting. So we finished up the 12 holes last fall, got them seeded, and then the other six we kind of had to reseed this spring. And really, we started, you know, in 2020 when the course was in really poor condition. You know, after 100 years at that point, the irrigation system for whatever it was shot, and there really wasn't any drainage. So we couldn't get water on the course, and we couldn't get water off the course. USGA came in and did a study, and they said, you know, we're kind of at the end of our life, and we need to do something or the place isn't going to survive. So, you know, Canal Shores have been the kind of place, you know, in 2019, we've done 10,000 rounds, and we probably averaged 15, 20 bucks a round. So it was low end. And didn't have a great reputation for playing conditions or anything like that. And we knew that, but we committed as a board to at least do a master plan. So that's when we brought Todd in. And Todd started the master plan in the fall of 2020. And we decided then that we need to go for it and see if we could actually renovate the golf course and raise some money to make it into something special. And then, you know, we got Josh Lesnick from Kemper involved, and he really kind of spearheaded our fundraising efforts and got us a bunch of money from Western Golf Association, First Tee, and then Wadsworth Golf stepped up, and, you know, we had a goal of raising $6 million, and kind of even before we went into the public phase, we had, you know, probably $2.5 to $3 million of that raised pretty quickly. So we were doing really well with the fundraising, and Todd's design kept with the original layout and routing, but he, you know, Evergreen all of a sudden got two or three times bigger. And now that you're out there playing them, there's a lot of character to them. You know, historically the greens have been kind of round, flat, small circles. And now they're, you know, a lot of historical greens, but, you know, kind of the template that you might see at Shore Acres or that you might see at Chicago Golf. So they're a lot of fun. And the reviews so far from the people that are out there are really great. People are loving playing the new Evans.
Well, Chris, I got to ask you, I know that there was several golf organizations. You mentioned some of them there that all stepped up and got involved. Kemper Sports, the Western Golf Association, I believe the CDGA was involved. And can you just talk about the effort of trying to pull all of these groups together for one great cause, which was the restoration of Canal Shores?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you know, in the industry is committed to youth golf, and I think that that's really who, you know, at the core, Canal Shores is a youth golf course. There's kids out there all the time. I was out there yesterday. There were kids behind us. There were kids sneaking on, unfortunately, but that's a little bit who we are.
Ed knows all about that.
We got the Western Golf Association in, the CDGA, the Illinois PGA recently committed to it, Wadsworth Golf. You know, it's kind of a unique setup here that everyone kind of got behind this little golf course. And they love it. I mean, it is truly a unique place. I mean, it's unlike any other golf course, I think, that it's urban because you're walking across the whole net. And it's suburban because there's some really nice houses on it. But then you're in the middle of nature, too. I mean, there's holes where you wouldn't have any idea you're in suburban Chicago. You could be in the north woods of Wisconsin. So I think that makes it special. You know, we've got a couple holes where you're hitting across the canal, which is always fun and challenging. You know, and then we've got a couple of holes that are kind of truly unique to Canal Shores. Quinto designed this putting-only hole, which is a par 65, and it puts right at the Baha'i Temple on the north end of the course. And, you know, some people may say it's a little gimmicky, but it is truly cool. It's a hard hole to par, but when you're sitting there, you're like, there's the Baha'i, behind the Baha'i is the lake, and you can see all that. It's fun. And then we haven't opened it yet, but on the south end, we've got, it's almost the mirrored image of it. We've got a 65-yard shot that's over wetland. So it's instead of putting it, you got to pitch 65 yards with, you know, no safety zone. And I think that people are going to love that one as well. So I think between the two, you know, you kind of start with one, you kind of end with the other. People are going to love it. And that's kind of a sneak up surprise on the back end.
Chris, Ed Stevenson here, and really it's exciting to see a vision come to life, especially, you know, when there's so much need. All golf courses end up with failing infrastructure and need for improvements. A lot of time those improvements happen, and they happen kind of like they're under the hood. They don't really change the experience. Sounds like here the experience has changed so much, and, you know, we know that good golf courses are maybe challenging, they're fun, they're beautiful, but great golf courses, they're all that, plus they solve problems and needs for the communities around them. And, you know, you've touched on it with the connection to youth golf, but you did a lot of fundraising. It's not easy to raise funds. You must have been able to, the team must have been able to help convince donors about the impact that this course could have. And maybe you can talk a little bit about just some of the difference. We know there's youth from the golf standpoint, but probably means that and a lot more to the surrounding community in terms of impact.
Yeah, I mean, Canal Shores had always been part of the community, right? And, you know, it goes into Wilmette and it goes into Evanston, but, you know, it was neglected. It never received public funding. People think of it as a muni, but the land's actually owned by the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, and then they lease it to the City of Evanston and the Wilmette Park District, and then they sublease it to a 19-person board, and I'm on the board. I'm the vice president on the board, and we run the club. So we're not a muni. We get no public funding. So, you know, yeah, we went out and we had the goal of raising $6 million. And we did that with no public funding. But wow, we got a lot of people from the local community to step up, right? I mean, you know, with, you know, the WGA and the First Tee and Wadsworth, CDGA, but Northwestern stepped up, and Wintrust stepped up. And there were a lot of locals that saw this as something that had great potential. And, you know, the WGA is going to put in a caddy training academy there that's going to be truly special. Like, we're going to take kids from Evanston and the north side of the city that have, you know, probably never seen a golf course and teach them to be caddies. And they can either stay at Canal Shores or stay at the Evans, or they could go to Westmoreland or an EGC and keep going there. But then the goal is for them to get Evans scholarships. And I think that, you know, providing jobs for kids and a path to college and all that represents is something that really resonated with donors. And, you know, we had a number of events, but we had a lot of people in the community step up. And you know, and what they gave, they kind of did some arm twisting. And it was truly amazing when we got over the finish line with the $6 million.
Yeah, it's you know, it's remarkable, and obviously I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with the Evans Scholars Program, but they've reached some milestones in recent years that are incredible. I know this year ahead they'll have more than 1,100 Evans Scholars enrolled at universities across the nation, more than 20, and just an unbelievable program. And you know, really, when it comes to golfer development and the future of the game of golf, I think that these caddy opportunities and the health of those programs have been some of the best golfer development programs out there. Create people who not only learn the game, but have a chance to ultimately make some money, get an education, and do things that will make them lifelong contributors to the golf community. So that you know, that connection there is really pretty unbelievable. And
The caddies at Canal Shores, one more thing, they're going to be free. The WGA is going to pay for the caddies. So you show up. I mean, Canal Shores isn't a place you normally think about having a caddy. So the WGA is going to pay for the caddies. All you have to do is, you know, tip them at the end of the round. So it's going to be a truly unique setup. And we're excited about that starting up next spring. And the first tees program is going to start up next spring. You know, we created a whole youth golf development area. We had two holes on the right in front of the clubhouse where, you know, we cohabitate with the American Legion. We got rid of one of those, and we created, Todd designed a 27,000 foot, you know, monster putting green with, you know, elephants in the middle of it. And that's just going to be an amazing place for kids to learn the game of golf. And we're so excited to, you know, have people test that out. I was actually out there last night cheating and going on the big putting green. And it is every bit the amount of fun that we thought it was going to be.
I absolutely love it. And honestly, it's so much of what golf needs. And you know, here we are. We're at a point in time where golf has become extremely healthy again. Demand is there. People crave the experience of golf as part of their quality of life equation. And this is getting to an end of the market that can so much benefit from that. But you mentioned, you know, 2019 being around 10,000 rounds, which is, you know, not a lot of traffic, really. I imagine with this vision, this master plan in place, the model moving forward and the incredible experience that's going to be there, what are some of the round projections looking like, or what is the forecast based on?
So we opened up the August 1st, and in the first week, we did 1,000 rounds. Just 1 week, we did 1,000 rounds. You know, Kemper thinks that we should be able to do 25,000, and, you know, depending on conditions, and, you know, we probably don't want to push it too much the first year, given the fresh turf.
Sure.
So I think if we get 25,000, if we get settled in at 25 to 30,000 going forward, I think we're in a really good spot, and I think that's all doable.
Hey, Chris, tell us a little bit more about the sixth hole, the putting hole. I know that Todd Quitno had some fun designing it, and when I was out there with Tom Gray walking around, what I saw, unfortunately at the time, because it was really in the grow-in phase, was a lot of the areas, the tees, the greens, were all tarped over, but people are saying a putting hole. How does a putting hole work? When you get on the tee, do you put a tee in the ground and just whack it with your putter? How do you play that hole?
So there's a, I mean, you can call it an elevated tee, sort of, it's one green. And kind of, in my mind, a little bit, it looks like a foot. But the, it, you just putt it. You don't put a tee in the ground. The where you tee off from, we'll say, is a little bit elevated, and then there's a valley you go through, and then there's some humps and bumps and some ridges along the way. And there's a bunch of places for, you know, our superintendent, Brad Helms, to put some pin placements. So, you know, it's hard. We putt it. I was out there yesterday with three guys, and none of us even got it onto the plateau where the pin was. You got to whack it. And, you know, it's going to be, once we get the greens rolling a little bit, it'll be even more challenging, but it's fun. And the scene there is just so amazing. The north end's got a punch bowl green, then the putting green, and then a Rodin. And kind of the three of them together is something really special that you really can't find anywhere else. And, if you're not a golf geek, you'll go, wow, that was really fun. And if you are a golf geek, you'll go, okay, that was really unique. You don't find anything like that.
Hey, Chris, has anybody made a hole-in-one on that hole yet?
Nobody on that. Somebody hit a hole-in-one on the first hole, I think, on last Saturday, so that was pretty cool. But no hole-in-ones yet. It'll happen. We've got a bench. We made all these. One of the guys that cuts down our trees, Leo Mendoza, made all our tee signs and tee posts and directional markers, and then he made these custom-made wood benches, which are, like, I think they're like 900 pounds. They're immovable. But when people get holes in one on number seven, we're going to put little plaques on the back of the bench.
Yeah, Chris, it's going to be so much fun for decades moving forward, which is what a master plan obviously sets you up for. And I just love, I think we get so many golfers who have been ingrained in stroke play or a certain way to play. And you think a putting hole, Rory's asking how to play it. It's perfect for match play. Doesn't, what's par? Doesn't matter what par is. It's my ball against yours. And hey, on this one, yeah, we're teeing off with it with a putter. And it's going to be really incredible. And I think the different ways to engage in golf is part of what has made it healthy again. I know certainly your role on this board has had a lot to do with this project, but your role with Lynx Capital Partners, you've seen some changes over the past 5 years or so now in golf. You're talking back to 2019, and just was wondering more broadly beyond Canal Shores, looking at the market in the area, looking at golf overall. Some of these properties were really in trouble a while ago, and now there's just a whole different level of engagement and interest in golf. If you peer in your crystal ball, how do you see this continuing to play out in the years ahead?
Yeah, I mean, it has been amazing since, 2019. It was in the doldrums. So my job is to sell golf courses, and I sell them all over the country. And for the most part, from 2010 to 2019, I just sold distressed courses, right? Things that were in bankruptcy, short sales, people that were, going under or just weren't making any money. COVID happens, and all of a sudden the industry explodes. Everyone starts playing. Rounds are up. Revenues are up. And that's 2020, and then 21, everyone's like, well, is that a one-year thing? Is that a blip? 21, a little bit better. 22, better. 23, still good. 24, which is country clubs, and they're all full with waiting lists, and that sort of trickles down to all the way down to Canal Shores, where, if someone can't join Evanston Golf Club because they're on the waiting list, they're going to go play, Wilmette or Winnetka or Highland Park. And then if they can't, when those are full, it just starts to move down to Canal Shores. So the industry's healthier than it's been forever. Because of that, everyone's actually been able to, put money back into their courses. So there's, the capital improvements and better bunkers, better irrigation, all that. And, because the industry's doing better, you're starting to see more capital come towards it, right? There's more buyers in the market, and they're starting to pay higher prices. Stuff that I haven't seen in probably 15, 20 years on, right, as far as, EBITDA multiples and everything like that. Golf's hot. People love it, and it's a good investment currently.
Well, and hopefully operators and have learned maybe from some of the mistakes of past eras when golf was last hot, where, you know, certain places operated like that popular nightclub that kept raising the drink minimum and cover charge. But I think opportunity this time to keep inviting a pretty broad audience to the game. And I know part of that equation is what you're doing at Canal Shores. So congratulations on all the great work there. And can't wait to see it and watch the community enjoy it for years to come.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, whenever you want to come out and play it, let me know. And, you know, we upgraded a little bit of the patio, and we're going to start to have a little minimal food service there, too. So it's going to be fun. We're going to try to create a much better experience for everybody. And we're excited to have people out. We're excited to have kids out. We're excited to have chatties next summer. It's just going to be great.
Hey, Chris, very quickly, those last six holes you said will probably open next year. Do you think they'll be ready to open at the start of the season, or might there be a little delay into summer?
But chatties, I think, I haven't heard exactly what Debbie said at it. I get kids out of school. I mean, we're going to have, you know, kids that are 8th and 9th graders probably starting up from Evanston. So, probably later, you know, in June.
Okay, real good. Well, good. Chris Charnas, principal owner, Lynx Capital Partners, thanks for jumping in, or Lynx Capital Advisors, and also a big part of the Evans, the new name of the former Canal Shores Golf Course in Evanston and Wilmette. Chris, always good catching up with you. We'll look forward to seeing you out at the Evans, and go have a nice weekend. Maybe get out and play some golf.
Thanks, Rory. Ed, always a pleasure, guys. Anytime you want to chat, love to.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. With that, we'll take our next break, and we'll be back with the brand-new president of Tour Edge Golf right after this. The Nickel Knoll Golf Club, located at 3800 North Kennicott Avenue, is on the north side of Arlington Heights. Nickel Knoll is a 9-hole par 3 golf course that usually takes golfers less than 90 minutes to play. It's a fun course for juniors, seniors, beginners, or those golfers who just want 9 chances to try and make a hole-in-1. The course is found on top of Peyton's Hill, the former training site for Chicago Bears legend and NFL Hall of Famer Walter Payton. The third tee area is where Payton did most of his workouts. While you are at Nickel Knoll, you can see the tributes to Payton and some of his memorabilia that's on display. Nickel Knoll has kids clubs and other items needed to golf located in the golf shop. So come on out and enjoy Nickel Knoll Golf Course. The par is 27. The yardage is only 1,163 yards, with the longest hole playing 145 yards. Tee times can be made at 847-590-6050. That's 847-590-6050. And are recommended, as this longtime hidden gem is getting more popular with golfers all the time. The Heritage Oaks Golf Club, now in its third full season after renovation, is welcoming golfers to come play all 27 holes. The first is the classic 18-hole golf course, and then Heritage Oaks is also home to the 9-hole Legacy 9 course. Improvements include new USGA standard greens, fairways, and they are complete with junior tees. Conditioning is improving every season, and golfers are enjoying this premier public golf facility. But all of the improvements did not take place on the golf course. The driving range has been lengthened and is now double-sided, with the back end being used for group lessons and private instruction. The hitting line is now complete with TrackMan for those wanting to collect data on their swing and their shots. The practice areas now have a chipping green, a practice bunker, and an enlarged putting green. Golf carts are now complete with GPS systems. The new clubhouse is home to the Acorn Grill that includes food and drink specials, indoor and outdoor dining, and a great view of the 18th green. Now, year-round Heritage Oaks can offer simulator golf along with lessons and club fittings. The fully stocked pro shop has everything golfers need for play or to wear on and off the golf course. When Heritage Oaks tee sheets are filling up and you need a quicker round of golf and you maybe just want to test your short game, try the Northbrook Park District 9-hole par 3 Annitzberger course just minutes away from Heritage Oaks. So visit heritageoaksgc.com for details on upcoming events and the annual year-end turkey trot outing in November. Book a tee time. Heritage Oaks at 847-291-2351. That's 847-291-2351.
All right. Welcome back to Golfers on Golf Radio. Here in studio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside journalist Rory Spears. We're heading into the back nine of our hour of golf talk, bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. And Rory, I know our next guest and longtime listeners of this show will remember our next guest is someone who certainly knows about the world of golf and has some deep roots in a Chicago area perspective on that.
Yeah, he sure does. And he's been a past guest host with us here in studio. And maybe next season we'll have to do that again now that he's back in town. But pleased to welcome back to Golfers on Golf Radio the new president of Tour Edge Golf, Tim Clark. Tim, how are you this morning?
Hey, I am fantastic, Rory. Ed, it's great to be on your guys' show again. Always enjoyed my visits with you guys, and I will also say it's nice to be back in Chicago. It's a little cooler than Miami, Florida right now.
Yeah, who would have thought in August we'd wake up at 6:45 in the morning and it'd be 57 degrees, but you've had your share of hot, balmy, steamy days in Florida, I'm sure, the last couple of years, and maybe it is a little bit of a pleasant change, and you can stay away from all of the hurricane rain and all of those other things. But Tim, you've been in equipment, and then you were in apparel, and now I'm guessing you're kind of more back in equipment again. Tell us what brought you back to Chicago and become a part of Tour Edge.
Yeah, no, it was really, the opportunity I had down there in Miami with Perry Ellis. I ran the Munsingware original Penguin brand, which obviously, great players like Cam Smith and Jake Knapp. And then I also oversaw the Callaway apparel division, which was a licensee from Callaway and Carlsbad. So we did both those. And quite honestly, when I took the opportunity, I figured that'd be great, learn apparel and spend probably the balance of my career down there. And actually got a kind of a out of the blue phone call from Tour Edge and David Glaude, and kind of had some conversations about equipment and what they were doing and where they were at, and more importantly, where they want to go. And it took a little while, but we actually came up for a visit. And I think one of the things that really sold me guys on coming back to Chicago was I knew they made great equipment. I mean, we tested it in my competitive life, so we knew it was really good stuff. But what really, really threw me was the world-class production operation they have. I mean, these guys are fast. I mean, they're doing things in very short windows. They got a guaranteed 48-hour custom build. So if you order something from Tour Edge, it's out the door in 40 hours from the order comes in to out the door. And when I was in for that, I actually asked David if I could see the files in March and April, because I know how backed up things get when you're building clubs during those months. And it was amazing. They have a system that's able to meet that. So the world class products, world class people, and quite honestly, there was definitely the opportunity to get back to Chicago, which is home for me and a very special place for golf and with some of the best golf in the world.
Tim, I've got to ask you. I know when you were with Wilson. Wilson has such a great reputation on its irons. And, at times when people talked irons, they talked about Wilson, but they didn't always give the woods the same level of credit. And now, when you listen to people talk about Tour Edge, they talk about how great the woods and the hybrids are. but I don't see the same level of credit on the iron side. So I know that one of the review companies just handed out a nice award to the latest set of irons. But would you say that the even if it just comes to a mental standpoint with golfers out there, that Tour Edge irons maybe are lagging a little behind and need to step up to catch up to the quality reputation that the Woods and the hybrids have?
Yeah, well, I think in anything, you know, and anytime you get a third party endorsement, that's a great thing. But, it, you know, at the end of the day, you got to build world class products. I think the reality, as with most companies, every company kind of has its thing, Rory and Ed. You know, we've been around a long time in the industry. So, you know, when I say Callaway, people think of metal woods. They got great irons, but they think of metal. I say TaylorMade, people think metal woods. They don't really go right to the iron. So I think Tour Edge has kind of that same rap. And, you know, in regards to having, you know, exotic metal woods. And I'll go back when, you know, when I had Kevin, when I first got with Kevin Streelman on the staff back in the early days, it drove me nuts, guys. He had this exotic street wood in his bag, and we could not get it out. And they always had a fine reputation in metal woods. And I'm going to say this. I think from a business, for a building blocks, I'd much rather have the reputation in the metal woods, because I think you can get into the irons. I think it's, and I can speak from experience, it's very difficult to take a world-class iron company and get credibility in metal woods. And if you look at, and go down the list, then not only Wilson, but look at Mizuno, you know, I mean, it's just hard. So I think if I had to pick my poison, I like where the brand's positioned, because people, if they have faith in metal woods, it's a lot easier to get them to give you an opportunity in the iron category. But if they don't have faith in you and your faith is in irons, it's hard to get the credibility on the other side. So I look at this as kind of an interesting opportunity to accelerate.
Well, Tim, Ed Stevenson here, and I got to say, when I heard the news that you were coming back and we're going to be at the helm there with David Glott at Tour Edge, it put a big smile on my face, and I thought, gosh, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Right out of the gate sounded to me like a great partnership, but you know, heard you a few moments ago talking about that call you got and putting this together and getting a sense of where Tour Edge wants to go. I'm sure, like every great company, there is a bit of a vision or a plan for you know, recognizing where you are now in the market, but that plan of where you want to get to, and maybe share with us a little bit what does the future look like for Tour Edge, and if writing your own script, what does it look like 2 years from now, 5 years from now?
Yeah, Ed, that's a great question, and one of the things, you know, I took some time here in making the decision. This was not rushed in any way, shape, or form. You know, I had a very, I would say, cushy job with Barry Ellis, and this one will probably be a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more, you know, ups and downs every day. But what really got me excited is I got a chance to demo the products. And in golf equipment, we good guys, we all know this. It all starts with products. If you don't have world-class products, you're not going to win. Golf consumers are too smart. 80% of golf rounds are played at the same golf course. So, you know, if I give you, Ed, if I give you a driver to play for a day with a demo, and you're at a club and you always clear that creek and you hit that driver and it goes into the middle of that creek, my brand's dead to you. Right. And it's not dead to you for a little window. I'm dead to you for 10 years. Right. So what got me excited was really product. And then what really, when I went through the facility, 55,000, world-class facility, amazing assembly. Everything is assembled. Every performance product for Tour Edge is assembled in the United States, which I can say, you know, a lot of competition doesn't do that. So I was super excited about that. So I think the best way to say it, Ed, and kind of answer this question is, when I look at what they're doing, they have an amazing, I call it back of glass. It's where the consumer can't see it. They got a great facility. They ship on time. They got a 48-hour build, custom build guarantee. They have a lifetime warranty on everything they sell, which is pretty amazing to me. So the back of the glass was so good. And then I looked at what was going on kind of in the marketplace. And what I really looked at is I saw this big opportunity for acceleration. And quite honestly, that could be in a multiple, you know, things. It could be additional product categories. But in the next 12 months, we're going to get back to doing the basics really well. Number one, we're going to focus big time back in Chicago, right? It's where the company's headquartered. Right. We should be very strong with PGA members across the state. We have a facility where they can come in and get their stuff tweaked or get customers fit, and we can ship direct to their, to the pros members. So we're going to work on some programs that make us really viable back here in Chicago. But then we're going to really look to accelerate the brand and build our market share.
Hey, Tim, I've got to ask you, people that watched your really interesting shows on the Golf Channel when you were with Wilson, Driver versus Driver.
Rory, I'm not doing it again. No.
there's your answer, Rory. No breaking news for you, Rory. Sorry.
People out there going, when's Exotic versus Exotic coming?
You know what? I've gotten that question. The differential is when I was doing it to Wilson is because nobody actually thought we could make a driver. So I was trying to change consumers' perceptions. The nice thing at Tour Edge is that the Exotic has a great reputation. So the nice thing is I don't have to do driver versus driver. And that was like having a second job, Rory. That was painful for me. So we're gonna leave the TV to TV people, and I'm gonna do the business thing.
All right. Well, you know, Tim, when you were at Wilson, you had a handful of guys. Kevin Streelman, you mentioned him before. Of course, Gary Woodland for a while back in the day when he won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, and some other players. But those guys were on the PGA Tour, and now Tour Edge has more of a focus with players that are playing the Champions Tour and some good players, Tom Lehman, Bernhard Langer, and other people like that who don't just play on that tour, they play Tour Edge products and they win with them. And tell us about maybe having to make a little bit of a jump over to dealing with the guys on that tour, and is there any possibility that Tour Edge might look for a couple guys to stick a club or two in their bag down on the regular PGA Tour or even out on the LIV Tour?
Yeah, you know, Rory, that's a great question. When we talk about the assets, when you do the asset liability sheet of joining or taking a new job, I mean, that was one of the assets, is their Champions Tour credibility is fantastic. I mean, they're one of the top brands on the Champions Tour with some of the top players. So to me, you know, I look at it very simplistically. And even when I was at Wilson, I looked at it simplistically. You have these players, but you need, I mean, wins are great, but you guys are both in the industry. It's like betting horses there's 144 in the field, right? You don't know who's going to win. So you've got to get these players that fit your brand. And I think Tour Edge has done a wonderful job on the Champions Tour with great people first, right? And I always say great people first. They're all great golfers, but you got to have the great people so you get the benefit of that. And then, yeah, Rory, I think the question that we got to evaluate moving forward is, you know, with that great presence on the Champions Tour, do we stretch down? You know, every brand's got to stretch to get younger, right? That's just the way it is. So we're going to have to look at all options, whether that be some Korn Ferry, whether that be some PGA. But I think the biggest thing right now is, you know, we have a great stable on the Champions Tour, which gives us a foothold at the best players in the world at that level. And what I always like to say, and Ed, this is always one of the funny things for me, is like, you've been around the game. There's always that kind of member that's kind of loud at a club, and they're always like, well, I've had this happen already. Where like, well, you only have Champions Tour players, and I said, yeah, I said, but you know what? Every one of them can beat you pretty badly if you want to play them. So we can, you can go ahead and critique me, but I just think get yourself in the right bucket, because if you think you're going to compete with a Champions Tour player, you're crazy. I don't care how good you are at whatever club you're at. These guys are great.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, Tim, I got to ask you, they always say the fastest growing demographic in golf is the ladies. So how about Tour Edge for the gals? Is there some lines coming that the ladies might find a little more comfortable with?
Yes, I think that's something that Tour Edge does very well. The women's products at Tour Edge and the junior products, which are two of the fastest growing segments, are fantastic. And they're quite honestly, I think, an area we need to emphasize more. There will be definitely a development program we already had. I was in last week for my first week, and we already kind of started this idea that we got to really accelerate into that women's arena at that, you know, kind of that all well put together performing set that a woman can get at a reasonable price, you know, whether that be $9.99 or $12.99, somewhere in there. So we're working on that already. But what's great about Tourage is, like I said, their junior set stuff is fantastic. And I think it's an understated market for them, especially, and this is, Ed, where it really fits, is with the PGA member, right? You got PGA members who are doing all these junior programs. And I'm looking at this junior stuff, engineered for juniors, flex shafts, I think seven different heights for growth. So we are going to work diligently to have a program to get that junior set into golf shops, because, you know, obviously supporting the PGA members around the Illinois and around the country is something that I believe is very important to long-term success.
Well, Tim, you know, you're right. I mean, the game's so healthy right now. There are new audiences coming to the game and people that really want to make golf be part of their life. And, you know, Rory is certainly asking the question about tour presence. And we know, you know, tour validation and some of that, the way that impacts the brand is important. But I think you commented on it earlier. You said that the product really is good. And a big key is getting it into people's hands. So it just it seems so so natural and intuitive that for the new audiences coming to the game, and for beginners to get them in a Tour Edge product early on and get some maybe a lifelong brand loyalty to Tour Edge as they advance through the game is one of the strategies. But I've got to imagine that to reach your goals, it's not any one strategy. It's got to be a combination of strategies, but still probably sticks with people realizing the quality of the product by getting it in their hands and playing it at that course they're playing 80% of the time.
Yeah. You couldn't have said it better. And yeah, there's no one strategy to get you to the promised land. But the one thing that I promised what we were going to refocus on is that kind of, I like to call it the grassroots strategy, where we're doing demo days and we have demo set programs and people can get the product in hand, because the influencers at the top level are great. Even the social influencers are great. But they're the best way to sell a product, especially hard goods, is to have a person hit that against their current product and go, wow. If they go, wow, you win, right? So yeah, we're going to get back. I think COVID, maybe a lot of brands got away from the kind of the baseline blocking and tackling, and that will definitely be a high priority as we move into 25.
Love it.
You know, Tim, I got to ask you, you know, for years before you were with the company, Tour Edge used to put on one of the great golf / media showcasing events in advance of the PGA show. And John Claffey, who does such a wonderful job in the marketing department, would organize a golf outing. But it wasn't just about Tour Edge. They'd bring in other companies, and they were all there to showcase what they had in front of media and other VIPs in the industry. And it was a great day, and you know, a lot of people really look forward to it. And the company hasn't had it in the last few years, and I know it'd be very popular if John had the budget to bring that.
And
I think again, this when I say grassroots, I agree that this is something. And make no mistake, as a competitor, I always heard about that event because everybody chatted it up. So I was very envious of it. So let's just say, you know, one of the things we're going to be doing this week, we got super excited about the Game Improvement Iron of the Year Award on the E723. That was fantastic. But more importantly, we're launching the Exotic 725 this week with our internal team. It'll be in the market this fall, so a pretty exciting time on that. But yes, back to the grassroots strategy. The way we're going to win with 725 is by having as many people as possible hit it, and that will include the media. So while we don't have official plans yet, And we're obviously getting close to our budgeting process here, and I'm just getting my feet wet here. So my list of things I want to do, guys, is like five boards long. So if I can get it down to two boards and I can do 90% of it, I'm going to be a pretty happy guy. But that event was fantastic. We always heard about it as a competitor. And, I think anything that worked in the past that was grassroots, it gave us an opportunity to get our products into influencers, media is super influential hands, as well as consumers. It's all on the table right now.
Well, if anyone can get through those lists, Tim, it's going to be you. And whether it's us PGA pros or the Rory and the media folks, I think a lot of smiles that you're back in town, and grassroots and otherwise, your presence back in this Chicago market and beyond is going to be really appreciated. We can't wait to say hello in person, check back in with you, and follow the continued trajectory for you and Tour Edge.
Well, guys, thanks for having me on the show. And like I said, I'm super excited. When this opportunity came, it was like, okay, it was a perfect fit for my background. And like I said, the back of the house is in order. So for me, it's all focusing on acceleration, and that acceleration is all about doing the basics really well. PGA pros, consumers, media, the fundamentals. We're going to win the fundamental game, and that will take us to the next level.
Well, Tim Clark, president of Tour Edge Golf, thanks for joining us here on Golfers on Golf Radio again. Glad to have you back in town, and we'll look forward to maybe testing a few of those products out at your fine facility out there in Batavia one of these days.
Love to have you guys out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Tim, thanks again, and have a great weekend,
thanks, Tim.
And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Once again, Brian,
I think we do have one final break here to take here in our last 5 minutes. So we'll do that. We'll be right back to putt out on 18.
The Misswood Golf Club, located at 1700 West Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's top public golf courses. This Ray Hearn design is a links-style course complete with Scottish-Irish-styled sidewall bunkers. Each year, Mistwood plays home to the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open and has hosted other golf championships, including the Illinois State Amateur and the Women's Western Golf Association National Amateur Championship. This year, Mistwood has built an extension onto the driving range to hold even more golfers at one time. The Performance Center is constantly being updated with the latest in golf technology for club fittings and lessons. Mistwood has one of the largest staffs of Illinois PGA teaching professionals at any club. So come on out and enjoy Mistwood. Challenge your game through the holes of Kelpie's Corner. And after the round, enjoy the food and beverage of McWethy's Tavern in the clubhouse. For more information, call 815-254-3333 or visit mistwoodgc.com. The Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin is your home for golf on a true championship golf course. In 2017, Erin Hills hosted the U.S. Open, but next year the U.S. Open will return with the ladies getting the opportunity. This time, the women's 2025 U.S. Open will be Erin Hills' fifth USGA Championship. So why not come out and play the two-time U.S. Open course before the women arrive in 25? Erin Hills has now opened the 63,000-square-foot Drumlin putting green for those players with a tee time or staying overnight. Yes, the Drumlin has lights, so night golf is an option. If you arrive at Erin Hills later in the day and daylight is fading, why not try the Kettle 5-hole loop, which is comprised of holes 1 through 5 on the main Erin Hills golf course. Food and beverage is some of Wisconsin's finest choices, including the in-house Fescue Rescue, a popular choice of Erin Hills golfers. Overnight accommodations both in the lodge and the cottages are filling up quickly, so make your tee times and book your play-in stays at erinhills.com or call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769.
All right, you're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Ed Stevenson with Rory Spears. And Hey, Rory, it's been a lot of fun talking to Tim Clark at Tour Edge, and of course, hearing about all the really the changes at Ken Al Shores. So many things going right there.
I know, known as the Evans.
The Evans, and I think that will happen over time, as I learned at Oak Meadows, now known as the Preserve at Oak Meadows.
Yeah, but, how long did it take people before they just started calling it the Preserve?
Well, they still call it both, and that's okay as long as they call it. You know, so
and book a tea time.
Exactly. Not to gloss past. But I know we'll be getting a lot more conversation in next week. The Illinois PGA wrapped up really the championship here in the state of Illinois, the Illinois Open this week. A little bit of weather impact, some delays through at least rounds one and two. But when it was all said and done, it was Charlie Nikitas who notched his first professional victory and a total of 7 under par for 209 out at Flossmoor. So, I know probably a lot of logistical wrangling for Kerry Williams and Brad Slocum and the team at the Illinois PGA to get that in, but terrific facility out at Flossmoor. There's another place that's gone through a wonderful improvement and metamorphosis in recent
years.
George
Goich, his brother, and their partner really have done wonders there.
Absolutely. So in the meanwhile, we'll look forward to more on that next week. You can find us on the internet at golfersongolf.com. A shout out to our guests. A thank you to our producer, Brian Stinson. And hey, we appreciate you. Get out and enjoy this beautiful weather. Until next week, hit them straight.
The Arlington Lakes Golf Club, located at 1211 New Wilkie Road in Arlington Heights, is both a fun and challenging golf course for golfers of all skill levels. The 18-hole par 68 course has water come into play on 13 of 18 holes, and during the recent renovation, the bunkers were repositioned into more strategic locations. Arlington Lakes has increased the size of its putting green, and its new routing gives golfers the option of playing a 3-hole or 6-hole loop when time is a factor. The Golf Shop is a one-stop shop for all of your golfing needs. Lessons and club fittings are available from the staff of PGA and LPGA professionals. Plus, for those golfers looking for some competition, why not try out the Arlington Amateur? That's going to be held September 7th and 8th, a 36-hole event, but you must sign up by September 5th. Book your tee times at 847-577-3030. That's 847-577-3030, or visit ahpdgolf.org.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spear Sports Communications Limited and guests.